want to remember, but we want to ask God to make an impact in our lives. That, you know, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and that this triumphant entry brought a lot of meaning to the life of people, we should also enter into the hearts of people to bring the gospel message of salvation to them. As all of you know, that the past few Sundays we have been looking at the wisdom for living. We have been giving our attention to the wisdom psalms. These psalms are so powerful that it reminds us how we can live a life, a godly life, a life that God has actually planned for each and every one of us. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Palm Sunday, that together with many Christians throughout the world, Lord, we can just remember the triumphant entry of yours. Father, we pray that even today, that we will allow Jesus to come into our lives, O God. Lord, that you will impact our lives. And Father, we will realize what we are created for and for whom we are created for. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I just want you to imagine for a while. All of you are going for a job interview. Just imagine, right? And the person, yes, I know some of you might be nervous. Some of you might be just familiar because you have gone for job interviews. And this is a very unique one. And you are sitting and the person across the table, the interviewer, has a lot of questions to ask you. And finally, this particular person is asking you this question. I'm just putting the next slide. The question goes like this: what is your philosophy of life? Maybe for a moment you'll be thinking, I didn't prepare for this particular question because I thought this interviewer is going to ask me things that is related to the job that I've applied for. But then the person is asking you, what is your philosophy about life? So what do you value most? What is important to you? What are your priorities of life? I think that's what the person is asking you. I was reading an article recently, and they say there are three kinds of people when they look at the philosophy of life. The first people, they call it the North people, the true North people. In other words, the people who know where they are going. They know their path. They know the desires of their heart. They know, you know, their destination. Yes, it's just a matter of time that they want to reach their particular destination. In other words, they know for sure, this is who I am, and this is what God has planned for me, and this is what I want to achieve in my life. So they have a very clear compass of their life. There is a second group of people, according to this article, the loosely organized people, right? Have a very loosely organized concept on the philosophy of life. You know, sometimes they waver. Maybe they know something, maybe they do not know also. In other words, they are a bit wishy-washy kind of a person. But there is another group of people today. You know, I think all of us have emails. It's called the inbox group. Anything that comes into my inbox, right? And so we look at it, we deal with that problem, and then the next one comes in, the next mail comes in. We just do live a life, right? Everyday kind of a life. Whatever that comes into my inbox, it might be issues related to my work, it might be life or anything. You know, I'm an inbox Christian. In other words, I deal and I live a life, just day by day kind of a life. You know, when I was looking at the psalm that we are about to sing and read today, it's a very interesting psalm because it's a psalm that speaks about David. David is sharing about his philosophy about life. Can you imagine, you know, the passage that we just read, Acts chapter 13, 21 to 22, you know, it says very interestingly that God testified about this man. You know, I was just fascinated when I read that particular word. That God himself testified that I found a man after my own heart. That was God's testimony of this man called David. He himself was able to testify, and God was able to say that this man is after my own heart. Because David knew very well, or he was living a life according to the thing that will satisfy God, that will please God. And so when I was reading this Psalm 119, by the way, don't be afraid, because when you look at Psalm 119, there are how many verses there? 176 verses. Don't worry, I will try to leave you right before my usual time, right? I'm not going to go through the entire Psalm 176 verses, but I just want to look at the particular passage that, you know, David has written, and to draw some things. You know, sometimes when you look at certain people's Bible, you will see certain things they have marked. From that marking, you tend to realize what is their emphasis, what they have highlighted, what is important for them. And so we want to look at the highlights that David has made. Interestingly, you know, when you look at this particular psalm, it's a psalm that every Jew will memorize. You know why? Because it contains every Hebrew word. Every Hebrew word is found in this particular Psalm 119. I think when you guys were growing up, you will always say A for apple, B for? You forgot? Some people will say B for balloons, some people will say B for ball, C for cat. You know, that's the way we teach our kids, you know? And so every kid, Hebrew kid, will learn this particular psalm, because when they read and they memorize this psalm, they memorize the Hebrew alphabets. And so they become very familiar with the Hebrew alphabets. We are not going to memorize, you know, but, you know, just to give you a background, you know, David says almost like 33 times in this particular passage, I have or have I. So this is the words, and there are, you know, 8 sections in this particular passage. But I just want to just go through some verses just to help us to just find out, you know, what's David's philosophy of life. And his philosophy of life was such that God was able to say, that God was able to testify and look and say, you know, this is the man who's after my own heart. Who knows my ways, my heartbeat? Who knows what I like? And who knows, you know, what is important in his life too. The first thing, you know, when I look at, you know, Psalm, just one, this verse, Psalm 119, verse 10, he says, I seek you with all my heart. Now, can you imagine, that's the first word that, you know, that David highlights in his Bible, in his book. And he says, you know, this is the first thing that I will always seek you, O Lord, with all my heart. You know, it's very easy for us as human beings to love other things, right? There are so many things. We live in a very attractive world. There are so many isms. There are so many ways, so many ideologies, so many patterns of life. David, as a king, he had so many things. The entire kingdom was at his disposal. You could have lived a life according to the pleasures of this world and the desires of his heart. But David says, I seek you with all my heart, with everything that I have, O God. I want to seek you. That was the philosophy of his life. In everything that I do, like Paul says, right, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, in whatever I do or say, I will do everything in the name of God. And so, in other words, that was his desire. I want to seek you, Lord. And the same apostle also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, for me to live, if I want to live, I want to live for Christ. And to die for Christ is gain for me. So that is what David would say. You know, I will always seek you with all my heart, O God. In everything that I do, I want to do things that will please you, that will honor you. In other words, I will ask, in every situation, will that please God? Secondly, when I look at the second verse, you know, David would have highlighted, you know, in his journal would be this verse. He says, I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me and teach me your decrees. In other words, David says, Lord, Not only I seek you, but I run to you. Right? When we have problems, we run to our friends. Right? We run to so many people because we want some kind of advice in our life. I'm not saying it's wrong to run to friends who would give us some kind of godly advice. But here he's saying, Lord, I run to you. Can you imagine God sees David often running to him? Right? I think parents know very well. When your kids run to you, you know, seeking some kind of help and guidance, you're so happy to help because they've sought your advice. And so David says, Lord, I run to you. And the way David's speaking in his Hebrew language, you know, Lord, I run to you. Even my struggles, I come to you. If I'm having problems in my life, I run to you. If I'm having issues about sin, about temptations in my life, my dangers, my fears, my cares, my worries, oh Lord, I run to you because I know you can teach me. Not only you will answer me, oh God, but you teach me. You know, when I was reading this word, I was asking myself, you know, why should David run to God? Because God is sovereign. God knows everything. Nothing is hidden, right, under the sun. He knows what's happening. He knows what you are thinking right now. He knows what I'm going to say the next word. Because the psalmist says, before I utter a word, God knows what kind of word is going to come out of my mouth. But I think God wants to hear us. He wants us to have a relationship with us. He wants to hear us talk to him. And so David says, Lord, I come to you. And he says, Lord, because you teach me. The third word I'm looking, you know, he says, I've chosen the way of faithfulness. You know, for a moment I was just thinking about David in his kingdom. If you realize, even today in the political arena, right, the prime minister or people in authority will have a lot of advisors. They have economic advisors, they have advisors on a lot of issues because the prime minister or the leader of the country is not a master of everything. He needs guidance. He needs expert advice, professional advice. Can you imagine, you know, David being a man, this, you know, as a king, he's surrounded by advisors, counselors, spiritual prophet, probably Prophet Nathan was also there, a very good friend of David. He was also there in the palace. He's surrounded by so many advisors who knew better than David. So many things. Right? But he says, but I have always chosen the way of faithfulness. In other words, in certain translations, the way of truth. What is right? What is important? What is right in the sight of God? Can you imagine David have heard some say, you know, politically this should be the way. If we want to succeed, this is how we should go. Logically, that might be the way. But scripturally, that's not the way to go. Biblically, that's not the move that I should make. So David could have easily, right, supported and agreed with the advisors when he was dealing with nations. But he always said, you know, I chose the way of faithfulness. You know what he said? I've set my heart on your laws. In other words, he was looking things from God's perspective, from God's word. Yes, what you say is nice. It's soothing to my ears. But I want to see how Scripture teaches me, how the Torah talks to me, how the Word of God would interpret such things. And so that was his guide. I've chosen the way of faithfulness in all my dealings. Today we live in a world, I think, you know, many of us make decisions, right? I know some of you are in authority. You make decisions, daily decisions. Sometimes, you know that it's not the right decision, but you want to make it because of certain reasons. But David would say, no, choose the way of faithfulness, the truth. See it through the lenses of Scripture and make the decision. Always tell yourself, what would Jesus do in such a decision, such a situation, in such a circumstances, right? Let me move on. Then he says, in the night, Lord, I remember your name. You know, when I was looking at this word very carefully, you know, this particular verse, you know, he says, in the night, I remember you. Two ways of looking at this particular passage, right? In the night can also mean, when a night in the biblical times means danger, fear, calamities, troubles, sorrows. It can also mean in such a way. So, and it is on in the night, you know, people go to rest and sleep. But David says, Lord, even in the night, I remember you. In the midst of my calamities, I remember. I will seek you. I remember your things, O God. I think that's what David is saying, you know, Lord, in times of danger, my thoughts always, how would God deal with such problems? In other words, my mind is soaked with God. I'm always thinking, my thoughts, my affections are always working towards God. He remembers. You know, sometimes in the night is the time our mind wanders away, right? Because no one sees. But David says, even in such moments, I remember you, Lord, so that I may keep your law. I want to be true to your word. Let me move on. And he says, teach me knowledge and good judgment. Interesting word, right? David being a king, a man, a wise man, his son Solomon was the wisest, right? He was a well-respected king. He knew during his time, right? There were so many kings in Israel. But today when you go to Israel, you know, they always remembered King David. He was a very powerful and a popular king, a very wise man. But even a wise man, a smart guy like David says, Lord, teach me knowledge and good judgment. I like the word he uses, right, judgment. It's a very interesting word that he uses in the Hebrew text. It's the word that is used to, you taste. When you eat your food, you taste the food to see whether it's sour, it's spicy, it's sweet. And that's the word that he's using. Lord, let me, Lord, know whether this is good, this is bad, this is ugly. Lord, whether this is right, this is wrong, this is truth, this is falsehood. So let me, Lord, taste so that I'll know which is right and which is wrong in our sight. In other words, he wants God to give him the knowledge. That's why Proverbs speaks about it. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 to 11, and also speaks about, you know, about spiritual leadership. We need wisdom. Today, I believe, you know, we need a lot of wisdom in the world. Sometimes things of this world are so attractive that they can right, wholesale buy us. Sometimes the temptations are not black and white kind of a thing. Sometimes we it's so subtle, right? We do not know whether that's right or wrong. It's that kind of the world that we live in. There are so many things out there, my friend. But David, you know, he says, Lord, teach me knowledge. Teach me what is right, O God, what is wrong. Help me to discern things. Today we need a lot of discernment, right, wherever we are. And that's what David is saying. Lord, teach me discernment. Let me move on. And then he says, I've kept my feet from every evil path. Right? As you know, David had two major failures in his life. Two great major failures of his life. He could have easily said, Lord, you know, Lord, I'm a fallen creature and all that. But he said, I've kept my feet from every evil path. He has learned his lesson. And he said, you know, Lord, I want to make sure, I want to ensure that I do not walk according to the patterns of this world. I kept my feet. I kept my journey. I kept my way of thinking and way of life from the evil path that is always before me. You know, David, as a king, you know, had a lot of temptations, right? About wealth, money, so many things in front of him. He can do anything and everything that was his power. But he says, I've kept my feet, Lord, from every evil path that I may obey your word alone. Just your word I want to obey, God. That was the prayer of David. Let me move on, right? He says, I long for your salvation. When David uses the word, I long for salvation, it's very interesting. He says, the two kinds of meaning in the Hebrew text, it means, not only, Lord, I long for your salvation, for you to save me today from the calamities I might get into, from the enemies are always targeting me, who want to take me away from you, O God, or away from making the right judgment. There are people always around me giving me maybe wrong advice. They just want to please me because they know there's certain things I like, and so they might just misinterpret certain things just to make me happy. He says, Lord, save me. At the same time, when he uses the word salvation, he's also talking about eternal salvation. In other words, Lord, even after life, I want to be with you. That's what David is trying to say. I long for your salvation. Not only the temporal life that I'm living now, but also the eternal life that I will spend with you. I want to be saved by you, Lord, and to be in your presence. Can you, as you go through all these verses, it's so powerful. That's the philosophy of life of this great man, whom God was able to testify, a man after my own heart. God himself was able to say, like he said to Job, you can find no one like Job. And he was able to say about David. And lastly, this is the word, you know, I just want to finish. In 176 verse, he says, I've strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I've not forgotten your commands. In other words, David, as I said, David had two major failures in his life. Sin with Bathsheba, and also his lack of discipline of his children. And his children became very ungodly. And they were living a life just contrary to the life of God. And so he says, Lord, I've strayed away like a lost sheep. Lord, he says, even though there are moments I will stray away, Lord, look out for me. Look out for me, O God. Because he believes it's only God who is able to help him. It's only God who can save him from his wanderings. But he says, Lord, I've not forgotten your commands. Because there are moments I might slip. I might just stray away. I might just go off. But Lord, look out for me. Seek me. Find me, your God. I think that was a prayer of David. Unfortunately, you know, today many Christians, you know, they always tell themselves, you know, I'm a fallen creature, I'm a sinful creature. They just pity themselves by saying that words. But David is not saying in that manner. He said, Lord, even though I might stray away, I don't want to stray away, God. But Lord, seek me because I will not forget your word. Your word will always be constantly with me. Let me finish with this illustration. I read it in the Daily Bread, you know, that we have it in the church. You know, it is this even a true event that happened in World War II. It was about this junior engineer who was actually in this ship, the American ship called the SS Elko Guide. You know, his name was Waldemar. So Waldemar was in this particular ship during the World War II. And they were 300 miles off the east coast of North Carolina. Sadly, on that particular day, a German submarine, right, surfaced. They opened fire on the ship. And, you know, it was a disaster. So as their tanker was just going down, the crew members, together with this man, Waldemar, you know what they did? You know, they jumped into a lifeboat. They had this lifeboat, and they went into this lifeboat, and they started to navigate themselves with a small compass that was in the lifeboat. So Waldemar was very familiar with the sea, you know, sea lines where ships will always pass. There are always certain sea lines, if you know of liners. That's how they do. And so he knew, he used his compass to direct him to that particular route so that the passing ships will come and rescue. Fortunately, the compass helped. Small little compass helped. And they were finally saved. When I was reading this, I was asking myself, what is the thing that's actually guiding you today? If you ask David, he would say this. In the same psalm, he would say, right? I don't have the verse here, but it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word of God is my compass. It's not only a lamp to my feet that I would know my next step and not slip away, but it's a light to my path. It shows me the path. What's the compass of your life? What is driving you? What is driving you? I think we live in a world driven by so many things. It might be media. It might be our ambition. It might be, you know, things that we want to have in life. I'm not saying, you know, all these are bad. If God blesses you, that's wonderful. What's the primary and principal compass in your life? David would say, that's God's word. And that's why the Lord said, he's a man after my own heart. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you for this great man of yours. A person you were testifying, saying, I found a man after my own heart. How wonderful, O God, that you were able to utter that word. Lord, we thank you for people like David. Not only he has written the Psalms for us, O God, to learn, to draw guidelines, O God, for our life, but to tell us that it's your word that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we realize that, God, we live in a world that each and every day we make a lot of decisions, of God. Decisions after decisions. Not only in our workplaces, of God, in our homes, in our finances, and even the people that we deal with, of God, we are making decisions every day. Help us, O Lord, to go back to your word. Let your word be our compass, Father, to help us. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.